Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution. Sounds like a whisper. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution. Sounds like a whisper.
Political theater and revolution in the 20th century. Presented by the Theatre Studies Programme of the Mediterranean Institute at the University of Malta and coordinated by Dr. Vicky Ann Cremona. Today's programme is about political theatre in Malta with Miriam Magro and Hypatia Catania. Hello, Hypatia. Hello, Miriam. Hello to all our listeners. Today, we, as I said in the introduction, we will be speaking today about political theatre in Malta. A very interesting subject, actually, because we always think of politics in Malta as associated to the 1950s, 1960s, up to the 80s, whilst in reality, political theatre in Malta started way before that, didn't it, Hypatia?
Yes, in fact, it is documented that in 1838, in a government newspaper, informed the public that in the Manuel Theatre there was going to be a special spectacle, was called, and it was an evening dedicated to Luigi Rosato, and it was all in Maltese.
Ah, so already we have theatre in Maltese in 1838. We had some plays in Maltese, actually, during the times of the knights, but we don't know what their content was. And they were sort of done as a special occasion. In fact, we know that one particular play was presented in front of Pinto. But here, we actually have a documented play, with a documented actor, more than anything else. But this was not the only play given by Luigi Rosato, was it?
No, in fact, Rosato's play was called Caterina, and it was in 1847. He wrote this play, Caterina. Rosato, it was interesting that he was influenced by the Commedia dell'arte.
Ah.
Also, with Rosato, we can also mention Carmelo Camilleri and Pietro Paolo Castagna, who were the pioneers of the Maltese comedy.
But do you think there was anything political in this comedy?
The fact that they use topics such as classes difference and the Maltese tradition and the people and how they
relate to
their masters. It was, I think, very much political, and even the use of language. The use of Maltese language, I think it was very political at that time.
Yes, of course, because we are in full time of the language question, aren't we?
In fact, we can say that Castagna formed the company Il Compagnia Filodrammatica Victoriosa way back in 1856. Here, Castagna developed this delicate argument of the class difference. His works were in favor of the lower class, in fact. And the play that was popular at that time was Il Congresso Sefturi, 1859. Here we can also talk about Carmelo Camilleri, who developed his first group of the Teatrini in Valletta.
So it's interesting, we have kind of already this rivalry between Vittoriosa and Valletta in the 19th century. Both cities creating their individual companies. And interestingly, we have this rivalry at all levels, because, for example, even Carnival at the time, there was the Carnival of Valletta, which was famous, but there was the Carnival of the Three Cities, which was just as famous, and they used to rival each other. So it's interesting to see that we have this rivalry starting even in the theatre. But does Camilleri produce anything political?
He developed the idea of popular theatre for the people rather than political.
Right, right.
It was more social rather than political, but we can link
there's a link, yes, of course.
Interesting to say, Camilleri was the first director of L'Independenza, a company that developed as a respected theatre among the bourgeoisie.
It's interesting to know that it was Camilleri, because we never really think of him. We always think of Michelangelo Borch,
but
no?
He was not the first one. He took the company from someone else when someone else had retired. In fact, it was...
In fact, the company was established in 1884 by Alfredo Guder.
Ah,
and after that, Camilleri together. And after that Camilleri retired, it was taken over by Michelangelo Borch.
Right.
And was active for 50 years with Michelangelo Borch.
Mm-hmm. He practically passed his life in there. And it's interesting because Michelangelo Borch himself is a political figure. I mean, he is one of the founders of the Malta Labour Party.
Exactly.
So let's speak a little bit about this Independenza, which had such a long career, long theatre tradition, we can almost say.
Independenza had its first performance in the Manuel Theatre in 1892. And the play which was produced for that occasion had one act, which was in Maltese.
Mm-hmm.
And the themes that their performance were often the struggle between the servants and their masters. They were also influenced by the Commedia dell'arte. Also in 1892, the company Independenza had started to use popular stories, which were popular with the people in the streets rather than the bourgeoisie. An example of this was Delit Albanum Baratatsunta.
A bit like realism in a certain sense, you know, I'm thinking of Zola with his Thérèse Racan, which he reads after all in the newspapers, and then he creates first a novel and then a play on it. We are really in the right period for it.
Here, we can say that Manuel de Meg did the same, and it was a time when he was already had the fame that he was a rebel. And he wrote a play which was based on a case of Rosa Armizzi. Here, the Meg showed that this was a victim of a conflict, this character. And here it is interesting that the police told the actors not to perform the play. And if they did going to perform it, they had to face their consequences. So we can see the conflict between the authorities and the theater makers.
Yes, yeah. Very interesting. Did they perform it?
I don't know exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that there's no recorded. It's not documented, yes.
Also, this is very interesting, I find. In 1910, the farmers got together and performed a representation called Strike.
Ah.
This was a protest for the government at the time. They were protesting
against the government.
For the introduction of machines in their work. They were against this invasion of technology, let's put it like this.
Right. They were afraid that the invasion of technology was going to ruin their jobs in a certain sense.
And they decided to
protest.
Put this presentation, this performance, in a form of protest. Yeah.
So we actually have protest theatre as early as 1910. Interesting, because in England at that moment we have a certain form of protest theatre only with, particularly with the suffragettes who are beginning to vote, to claim the vote, and we have famous directors as Edith Craig at that period in England. So it's interesting that in Malta it is the farmers who are doing this, which is again sort of the proletarian level, using theatre to put forward their claims.
Also, there was a performance in Hamrun, directed by Domenico Gruppetta, showed the French Revolution, which was very political.
Right, of course. Particularly, we are in British times. Does this sort of political movement continue afterwards?
Yeah, in fact, we can go now at the 1950s.
Yes, we go to the 1950s.
With the concept of education theatre. Here, Aaron Seracini Anglot developed the concept of education theatre. He introduced the company called Comptem. He wanted to fill he wanted to fill this need by putting theatre for education.
Mm-hmm.
Coptem also organized training in art and also discussion held on the Red Fusion. Seracini Anglot analyzed social issues such as subsidiary questions, the harm that was done on children when watching Canada play.
Well, that's interesting, because we normally protest today about the harm that is done on children when they watch adult videos or adult films. And you'd never think that they were actually thinking even of plays. You'd even wonder if they were allowed into the hall. So it's interesting that this was a problem.
He also developed the idea of censorship. He was against censorship in his plays. And also he analyzed... And he also tackled the problem that there were few women acting.
Right. So, yes, in fact, it was very difficult to find female actors. And whereas male actors were normally voluntary and female actors were generally paid, which is interesting. At least we had one up over the men in the theatre.
Here we can also say that there were authors who... developed the issue of morality and social justice. And we can talk about Gino Muscata Zopardi. Mm-hmm. He had a production, Farisee, and it was concerned with capitalism, the political strife and the religious, the problems with political and religion were much invoked in the 1960s, especially in Malta, and the independence.
Well, obviously, I mean, this was the period of, I mean, this was a very hot political period. We had just come out of the whole argument whether integration, first dominion status and then integration and then independence, all this. And also, remember, the elections of 1962, after all, were known as the Elezioni Tadnup Meyet, which was, these were the elections where it was considered to be a mortal sin if one voted for the Malta Labour Party. And unfortunately, that social reality created a lot of strife and a lot of, injustice up to a certain extent for a lot of people. It is a dark page of our history.
And also, this helped with the movement Awen Literary. When this movement was established...
When was it established?
This movement was established in November 1966, and here we can see the first sign of change. Mm-hmm. And an important author like Francis Abeyer
emerges from the movement.
Here. Yeah.
Right. Francis Abeyer is such an important author. I had the privilege of knowing Francis Abeyer sometime before he passed away, and he was highly inspirational. He in fact had come to the theatre studies program to give a lecture about his work. Let's discuss this figure of Frans Abeyer, who was so important for the development of Maltese theatre.
Francis Abeyer could be considered as a revolutionary author. He wanted to go against the conventions of his time. He wanted to reach the people in new ways that weren't done at that time. Mm-hmm. He also created a theater which was different from the ones that they were taking place before. He also created a new theatrical act.
I think we can say that he was a real theatre person. I mean, the other authors were generally university professors who were trying to develop Maltese in all fields, therefore also developed it in the theatrical field. But I think Abeyer was a true theatre person, and in fact it's interesting to see also then the way he influenced other authors, either in reaction to him or for him, like Diakono, Ketkuti, etc. But what was so special about the way this theatrical act was developed?
Because with his work he wanted to show the disparity between the existing classes, the alienation in society, which these subjects in itself were not tackled before by other authors, so that's why he was considered as an important and also as a revolutionary author. Mm-hmm. Even in his plays, a notably example, Al-Hatfu Il-Bayt, where he, in his work, he shows clearly that between the members of the family, the disparity that could come about,
even unjustly, actually, because if I remember correctly, Al-Hatfu Il-Bayt is about a woman who can have children and a woman who can't. And in a certain sense, at the beginning, we see the woman who cannot have children, who is almost feeling embarrassed and as though oppressed by society for not being able to have children. And suddenly we have a revolution, don't we, within that play?
Of factors that before were not tackled. He tried to show these to the people. Before, it was like a taboo even to the society to write about them and to show them.
Yes, but within El Hatfu El Bayt, we finally see that having an education...
we can talk about the character of Marion, which is very particular. It was a woman who wanted to try to change the idea of being a Maltese woman like it was tackled before. She wanted to study at university and have a career. She wanted to stay just at home and look after her children.
Exactly. So that is already revolution. We're talking of the 60s after all. Right. So I think that he is highly influenced, however, by the theatre of the absurd in his writings. And in fact, he writes certain plays which are quite close to the absurdist theatre. But he brings in a lot of social and political even undercurrents. He's also, I was told by one of my colleagues in theatre studies, George Schrantz, and his wife Marlene Schrantz, who was one of Ebeyer's actresses, how exigent Ebeyer was with vis-à-vis the actors, how he insisted so much on the fact that they had to have the right diction, the right pace for acting. He was very insistent on rehearsals and the whole way in which he used to produce performance was innovative for Malta. He sort of was trying to move the actors out of amateurism into looking at a more professional way of producing a play. But I don't think that Francis Abbey, even though perhaps the most important of the time, was the only person trying to reform the theatre.
Yes, in fact, working also under the lines that Abbey was taking in the 60s were other major authors. One of them is Alfred Sant. Even with his plays himself, I consider that Alfred Sant went even further than Abbey himself, because notably in his plays that he wrote, he even considered the psychological aspects of an individual, his fears that he tried to hide, and even he tackled certain taboos which before were not written in plays.
Such as
Ittri Mirandino, he even tackled the subject about homosexuality, which before was considered
absolutely taboo.
Even the characters, they are not seen from the outside. He goes to see what the person feels in himself, and the hurts comes out and they are explained, so that people will just not be alienated on other subjects from the outside only, but also to know what the individual is feeling from within.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Alfred Sant, after all, is a well-known figure in Malta, because he is, after all, the head of the Labour Party. He was an ex-prime minister. I find that he tackles theatre in a very particular way. In a sense, we can speak of an ironic look on society. It's not a neutral gaze, is it?
No, in fact, it is of a leftist ideology, most notably even in his plays like Set. The way the society is viewed has certain even Brechtian ideology mm-hmm. in it.
And also he was very political in the way he used parody to criticize or to make the point against authorities or against the government, or
and even attack the society itself.
Especially in the play Il Castel a Tous Limit, it was a parody against the police.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Even in another way, they carried out their arrests, actually.
Even in another play, Metat Umil Principessa, where everybody is is considered to be alienated. They prefer to be remained in their close confinement instead of dealing with what is happening in society.
Right. Apart from Alfred Sant, who would you say was important in this period?
Another two authors which I would consider definitely to be important are, of course, Doreen Mikhalev and Oreste Kalleja. Doreen Mikhalev, in her writings, she introduced the new feminine forces, which were also in the 60s very important.
Well, they're beginning to emerge up to a certain extent. I mean, this, I admire Doreen Mikhalev, who unfortunately passed away last year, I believe, intensely, because I find she was the first woman to actually publicly tackle through the theatre the question of female status in Malta.
Also, a very important difference I see with from Oreste Kalleja. Oreste Kalleja was a person who wrote for the social, for the people. Sant was very political in his writing. There, I think there's this difference between these two authors. And also, my comment on Doreen Mikhalev, I think she writes direct for the women to make them think and react.
And wake up.
And make an action.
Well, there's a huge theatrical movement which starts with Sant, but develops in the 70s, doesn't it?
In fact, yes, Serge Senour was this movement. Here we can see the involvement of Daniel Massa, same Alfred Sant, Lino Farrugia, Albert Marchand, and Evarez Bartolo, together with Mario Vella, which composed this group. Here we can see this satiric attack to the structure of society. They also broke away from the tradition and they presented a political reaction.
In the late 60s and 70s, there were other experimental groups who were also working on protest plays. One example is Henry Dog, that saw that a radical need was needed in theatre, for that it remains to remain alive.
And apart from Henry Dog, I mean, Henry Dog was an interesting company to start with because it had all sorts of people. And it's interesting to see that these protest theatres in the during this period grouped people like Mario Vella and
writers such as Evarez Bartolo and Sammy Vella, which were very important for the group.
Yes, and Luis Gallia and Charles Stroud, and they were all together. I mean, it's interesting to see that these people who eventually became opposed politicians were part of the same theatrical group. Maybe we should ask them to create another theatre.
This group came to an end because the actors and the writers took an opposite directions, in fact.
That's why the group itself came to an end.
Apart from Henry Dog?
There was also another experimental group with the name of Click. Click itself had also a theatre workshop. And there was also Il Palco Malti, which was also another experimental group working with the political
motives. Right, but in order to hurry up, unfortunately, time is really racing now. I would say that let's go to the 80s, because again we have experimental groups in the 80s, and perhaps the most important one at that point is A Teatro, isn't it?
Yes, A Teatro, in fact, which came about in the 80s, after the 1981 elections, to be exactly, was working as a form of resistance against the oppressive system of the Labour Party, to help the people to see these things and to reflect on them.
I think A Teatro actually was creating a new consciousness. In fact, in the programme on Dario Fo, we spoke about the accidental death of an anarchist, which they had put up. But they started really under the influence of the Theatre of the Absurd and under the influence of directors such as Peter Brook. And they put up, in fact, the first production is Marasad by Peter Weiss, which after all had been put up by Brook. And it's certainly thanks to our teatro, we have a whole host of actors and writers and translators who emerge, such as Juicy Gut, which is wonderful translations, and writers such as Alfred Buttigieg, directors such as Michael Fenech, Emmanuel Mifsud comes out of there,
Hector Bruno.
So many people collaborate within this theatre. Peter Bozzotil,
They also, as a group, made use of parodies and employed Brechtian scenes.
Mm-hmm. They were the first people, actually, to introduce Brecht into Malta. Well, I would say that that they were a very important theatrical group. They moved theatre forward, but they weren't the only ones.
No, we can even talk of Politeatro, which was established as a reaction when the Malta Labour Party lost the election. In fact, it was on the leftist, they took a leftist ideology.
Yes, it's interesting to know that our teatro finished when Politeatro started.
When the Labour Party lost the general elections of 1987.
Yes, but before the Labour Party as Politeatro, we had the political theatre, which was conducted by Joe Saliba and Joe Azzopardi and Michael Fenech particularly on the 21st of September. They used to have, actually the whole meetings used to be focused around their plays.
But Politeatro itself, besides wanting to show the mistakes, let's put it in inverted commas, of what the Labour Party did during the administration, it was also for actors who were not yet known to start giving them the skill to be able to start their directing careers as well.
No, Politeatro was more of trying to educate the Malta Labour Party supporters to change attitude, and they wanted to do it with the theatre. In fact, the discussions that were done after the plays
were very important. I remember one particular discussion on the EU, and I remember there were very different, even political figures who watched the play and who participated in the discussion. I'm afraid there would be so much to say about political theatre, even after Politeatro. But unfortunately, this program only lasts half an hour and we have no more time. It's a pity that we were not able to discuss the theatre of the 90s and perhaps the newest movements that are appearing today. Perhaps that will be the subject of another program one day. Thank you very much for listening in to us. Thank you very much, Miriam and Hypatia.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds